Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Thank you for joining in today. As always, a packed program. Some of this may be a little dated. I don't think so. It might be. But I'm traveling, and it's a little hard to do some of these programs to stay up on things. I don't have an entourage. I don't have a staff. Well, I do. That's about it. Anyway, we are lean here at Red Sky Radio, and I thank the financial supporters, ones who contribute to this program and help it stay going. It never really covers it, but that's not a complaint. I'm still working, and I fill in the gap, and that's fine. It's my part of my ministry. So we start with good news. I hope I can end with good news. But this one is really an intriguing piece because it's going to launch our topic today, which is primarily about girls. Always like talking about girls. I had my first love at October of, I won't tell you the year, I was third grade. And I won't tell you the girl. I just saw her walk in the room and go, whew, man alive. Okay. That's okay. That's just sort of in the DNA, I guess. Not embarrassed or proud. But anyway, this is going to deal with girls, but mostly from the side of what our females, from young girls to women, have to go through, what they're getting subjected to, how they are getting emotionally and intellectually seduced, physically torn up, really. It's awful. It really is. And I'm going to cover this from a number of different sides. But first of all, this is good news, but it's got a little bit of interesting, sad news within it. The good news here is that there are more and more young people across the United States, including Western countries for that matter, that are embracing Christianity. I mean, glory, hallelujah. Apparently, this is Gen Z. I'm not sure what age group that is, but it's the youngest age group that has a generation assigned to it. I don't know if that's age 16 to 30 or whatever it is. It's behind Gen X, which is behind Millennial, which is behind Baby Boomer. I think I got them right. But anyway, what is interesting in these statistics are two countervailing directions. There is a significant increase in young men embracing Christianity. I can hear the cheers right now all across the United States or wherever people are listening. It's about time. I mean, the men, what a tough job these days, because they've been emasculated, put down, marginalized, called names, anything that is even remotely reflective of constituting the DNA manifestation that God has given men is called toxic masculinity. Well, I think there are women out there that would want toxic masculinity because it isn't toxic. It's just masculinity. Those are contradictory terms. Toxic masculinity. But if a man's masculine, if a man is what a man is supposed to be, why is that toxic? And if it's toxic, is that something that which is God has created the man to be is spreading to other men? Oh, God forbid, huh? Well, not really. And I think there are probably women who are looking for what the world calls toxic masculinity. And in reality, it's just masculinity. And yet they are being seduced into thinking that maybe they might be, have multiple genders, or that they're really male and that they're really trannies and that they're queer and all of this stuff. I mean, I heard a horrible story this just last week. A woman I know very well, that her daughter went to a graduating from a prestigious university. She got there and she went lesbo at the university. So, so this group that is Gen Z here, the young men are apparently now actually more likely to attend religious services than the millennials and the Gen Xers. But what is on the flip side of this is that traditionally in this younger age group, the ones that have attended church more have been the women. The female attendance in church at that generational level is going down, and the male attendance is going up. Now, maybe the women thought that, well, hey, the place I'm going to find a really good guy is at church, and there weren't any, and so they're leaving about the same time as they pass the guys coming in. They're on their way out. I don't really know. The study didn't go that deep, but I can only speculate. I don't like to do that too much. But the men are increasing. The women are decreasing. Now, this is overall is a good thing. The men need to increase. They need to assume the roles of leadership to which God has called them, which I might also state is comes with duties, obligations, liabilities. I remember so well getting ready to do a sermon at a church where I was an interim pastor in California. And I said to my wife, I said, well, and the church had only been going for about 2 months. I said, well, this is a week that all the women get up and walk out. But I got to say this message. And I gave a message on why they weren't supposed to be elders, deacons, bishops, pastors. Those aren't the roles. They're critical, and critical not just because they hold the key to the procreation of the human race. It's a lot more than that. They're badly and sorely needed for all the deficits men have. Women have deficits, men have deficits. We each have our strengths. That's why God says two are better than one. We all got holes, and some of that is just the way that we are wired. And so I had said to my wife, I said, well, women are going to walk out after I give this message. So I gave the message and all the passages dealing with why I did not believe women should be pastors, deacons, or elders. And I'm waiting for them to get up and walk out. And when that message ended, I just about got a standing ovation. And who? From women. The women in that church didn't want to be pastors. They didn't want to be deacons. They didn't want to be elders. It did not fit. It did not resonate with their spiritual DNA. And the ones who, over the course of time, wanted to rise up to leadership, oh my gosh, they failed the smell test. And I mean that figuratively, of course, because I could see that there was this Jezebelian usurpation in process of the role of the man. Now, there's Deborahs out there, ones who rise up because there are no men. I get that. And that, I mean, if you know that passage from Judges, Barak, B-A-R-A-K, but I call him Barak. And later in that passage, Barak goes to worship in a place called Bama. I always kind of wondered, well, so is that where it came from? They knelt down and they did deference to this image and went and go, oh, Obama, oh, Obama. And that's, well, anyway, I'm digressing here. But the fact of the matter is Barak would not go into battle without Deborah. He was not going into battle. He needed a skirt to hide behind. And the glory for that victory of Israel went to a woman by the name of Jael, J-A-E-L, who drove a tent spike through the temple of Sisera, the bad guy who went to hide out in her tent. She gave him a glass of warm milk. He went to sleep, and out comes a hammer in the tent spike, and it's adios, Sisera. Well, not adios, that means God be with you, but anyway, he exited. There are those places. I get that. There are a few women leaders I have greatly respected. I mean, I'd like Golda Meir. But more recent than that would be Reagan's friend, Margaret Thatcher. But what was she called? She was called the Iron Woman. In other words, she just cowgirled up in a way that she occupied and did the job of a man, of which there wasn't one in England at that time. And there have been a few others. I totally get that. I'm bothered by the female judges that are siding with illegal aliens. You know, women are given a maternal nurturing DNA. It's there. But you don't nurture and harbor criminals. That's a misplacement of the DNA that God is, spiritual DNA that God's given women. Okay. Well, anyway, I spent a lot more time on that than I anticipated, but it's an important topic that the young people, mostly men, are leading Christianity's comeback across the U.S. Now, girls listening to this, these guys are coming into the church, and if you want a godly man, that might be a place, maybe the time has come around to find them there. Next, this comes as no surprise, but more good news. The Colorado murder rate, Colorado, one of the worst states in the country. California, abortion capital of the world. Washington, Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, New York, they're all in the tank. And the muck is rising higher in that septic tank. But the Colorado murder rate is going down. In fact, it's going down drastically. Now, here's the little coinkydink. The murder rate is going down coincident with Trump removing and deporting illegals. Now, the left will say, well, that's purely coincidence. That's purely speculative. That's anecdotal. Well, then explain it some other way that just isn't obviously stupid. They can't do that. Next piece of really interesting news, good news, I think, is that they are reporting a historic surge in applications to work for the Secret Service. Not until Trump came in had the applications skyrocketed. Applications, people entering the military are going up. There was a horrible decline in military preparedness under the woke crapola of Joey Corn Pop, No Brains Biden, and all the leftist weenies that dictated and actually dictated his memos and put the auto pen to his various pronouncements. It was going down. A real guy does not want to be in a platoon dominated with trannies, queers, frankly, in some cases, women. There's some jobs in the military women can do fine. But should they be in barracks together? Of course not. Or is that the best for military preparedness? To have some of your soldiers dating the other soldiers? I don't think so. But anyway, historic surge, they've said. Says similar to significant strikes in similar to significant spikes in military recruitment since President Donald Trump began his second term, applications to join the U.S. Secret Service have jumped 214%. Now, all I can say here is there are a lot of people, a lot of good Americans, that want to be part of protecting someone worth protecting. Not Mr. 8647 James Comey. What a loser. The head of the FBI feigns ignorance of what 8647 means. He just thinks it's interesting seashells. James, either you are a consummate liar or you are so ridiculously stupid, you never should have been the head of the FBI. And we're all thrilled that Trump fired you. And you can't take it that you got fired, you loser. So anyway, this is just really amazing. That the applications for the Secret Service from January 20th, the date of the inauguration, to May 1, comparing year over year, it was 7,000 a year ago, January 20th to May 1, 22,000 in 2025, just so far. Oh my gosh, that is just incredible. But not surprising. Not surprising at all. Okay, back to our girls. All right, and we were talking about Colorado a minute ago, and Colorado is just, it just seems like they only want to do one thing. They really, really want to go to hell at every level, but not every person, but at every level. I mean, whether that's their tranny agenda, which is out to just defraud women, because that's what it is. How can you be for women's rights and encourage men to be women and rip them off in athletics and so forth? How is that fair? Well, anyway, that's another topic. But Colorado's, the governor's queer. Both houses are overwhelmingly Democrat. The Supreme Court was the one that tried to bar Trump from being on the 2024 ballot, which it wouldn't have mattered. He wasn't going to win Colorado anyway, so what does it matter? And where this writer says, where the lawmakers are, quote, intent on destroying the parental rights of those who don't endorse transgenderism, end quote. But there's always somebody. There's always, you know, when Satan comes out full force and it looks like he's going to take the day, that's the time when the Holy Spirit moves in some person, some community, some school district to raise up people with a set of spiritual stones, I might say, and fight back. Just one voice. A voice that is only 1% of the total volume, but it speaks 100% of the truth, will overcome 99% of the volume and 100% of the falsehood. The truth wins. The truth wins out. So there is a school district called Falcon 49 near Colorado Springs. Now, Colorado Springs is a relatively Christian community. I think as part of it is maybe the northern part is in Douglas County, possibly. Douglas County is a very Christian county south of Denver. I know the area well. But they said, all right, new rules. We're going to follow Trump's executive order. So this is how important an executive order is, whether it's enforceable or not. You have people that we know that they feel or think like you and I do, most people listening to this program. But there are people who are just simply afraid. They're going to lose their job. They don't want to come out from behind the rocks, from behind the tree, out of the cave. But when somebody else takes a step, one person takes a step, and it's something with at least the appearance of authority, even if the executive order gets shot down by some left-wing judge, the fact of the matter is I don't like the word incentivized. That's a new creation. But it's given an incentive and a boldness to people that, well, you know what? Maybe it's okay to come out. And Falcon 29 did that in Colorado. They came out and they just boldly stated there are inherent differences between boys and girls. Duh. Well, that's not in the quote. Meaning biological males and biological females. Allowing boys to compete in girls' sports is part of the broader attempt to debase the entire category of woman and transform laws intended to protect sex-based opportunities into law. So take that, Ketanji Brown Jackson, or Ketanji Jackson Brown. I can never remember which way the Jackson and the Brown goes. I get confused because I really like the singer Jackson Brown, but I think it's Brown. Anyway, the one, You know the one who said, she's asked, what is a woman? She said she couldn't define it. She's not a biologist. Well, guess what, baby? Falcon 49 just defined it for you. So you want some little help, Ketanji, you left-wing nut job? Go read the decision of Falcon 49 School District in Colorado. Energized, strengthened, emboldened by a president who's out there to do things right. Now, this is a good thing for girls. Obviously, we're kind of talking about the same age group as the young girls who are leaving church, but this goes down to the younger grades, junior high, grade school, high school. The Riley Gaines bill was signed in Georgia the other day, and I think we are up to something like 25 or 27 all red states that have passed legislation. No girls and boys sports or the reverse or in their locker rooms or in the bathrooms or any of these places or sleeping in the same rooms when the sports team is on a trip up and down the line. Can we get back to common sense? Why is common sense not been that common? Well, you'll find out in a little bit. Now, there are other girls who are suffering, though, and these are the ones who haven't been born yet because Planned Parenthood, most recent statistics, their 2023 to 2024 annual report records that they have provided an absolute record number of abortions. Now, why is this an attack on unborn girls? Well, half of the kids are in the womb are girls. Do more women find out that when it's a girl that they abort than a boy? There is some indication of that, that if you're going to have one child, you want a boy more than a girl. I don't know. Maybe the parents just don't want to deal with, in-house unplanned pregnancies and all that. I kind of understand that, but that's anecdotal and it's speculation that I've read. I don't know that, but it is a fact. How can you be for women's rights when you're killing innocent children in the womb and half of them are girls? They're going to be women. Tell me, Ketanji Jackson Brown, tell me, are those women in there? Do you need a biologist? Like the one cartoon I saw, the OBGYN guy, the doctor delivering the baby. The woman in the bed says, doctor, is it a boy or girl? And he says, I don't know. I'm only a doctor. I'm not a biologist. Come on. God made us male and female. We're Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. This is a no-brainer. But back to this alarming, troubling story. So while there's clear states, clear diminution, if you will, reduction in abortions in certain states like Texas, apparently they're flocking to the planned non-parenthood clinics in states like California and Washington, Colorado, Illinois, New York, to slaughter their unborn. So the highest number before this particular year was in abortions was 398,000 abortions done by Planned Parenthood. 392 was the highest number in the year ending 2024. It was 402,230 children slaughtered in the womb. An increase of almost 10,000, a all-time record slaughter. And guess what? I say, guess what? I have a grandson who doesn't ever just say, Papa, and then tell me something. He says, Papa, guess what? And I gotta say, what, son? And then he tells me. And now I'm saying it. So guess what? Well, they also spent a record amount of taxpayer money for Planned Parenthood. $792,200,000 went to slaughter innocent unborn children. $792 million, an increase by Congress of $100 million. Where are the Republicans here? Do they, is being pro-life sort of the tar baby? If you come out, you can't get away from it, and then you lose the election. We'll lose it then. But speak the truth. Have the guts. Have a pair of stones and speak the truth on this. And is there a reduction of Planned Parenthood funding in Trump's mega, big, beautiful bill? I can't seem to find out, but I think the answer is no. They don't want to touch that. They just want the killing fields to get bigger. They want the acreage of the killing fields to expand. We'll fund the destruction of the next generation. What's after Generation Z? I don't know. Maybe there's not enough of a generation to give it a title. Double A? Are we back to that? I don't know. But this is horrible. And if the Republicans in Congress cannot stand up under, maybe they're defeated, maybe they're tossed out. But are you going to do all these other things and just let the killing go on and fund it? There's something here I want to share from Scripture that's really important. During Israel's critical time, when they were split, the 12 tribes were split, 10 formed the nation of Israel, sometimes known as Samaria, and then there was Judah and Benjamin, which had the oracles of God. The temple was there. That's where the priests primarily were. The 10 tribes never had a good king. 41 horrible kings. Never had a good one. Started idol worship right out of the gate, right after the split. But Judah held good for a while, and they had some good kings. They had some great kings, and they had some awful kings. But it got worse towards the end. And the problem was, to me, Judah is sort of like the Republicans. They know what's right. They have stood for what's right most of the time. But like Judah, they're slipping and they're sliding, having less guts to speak to key moral issues. And what does God say about Judah? God goes on to say, Judah, because you have done worse than the nations I threw out before I brought you into the promised land, you will be judged more harshly than the heathens, which I tossed out and gave you victory over. And why? Obvious. To whom much is given, much is required. They knew better. And it's one thing if you're a Democrat and you grow up in an environment where you actually are only taught bad stuff and that's all you think. If you know something to do is good and you don't do it, now you facilitate the evil, you're hypocritical, and the judgment on those who know what is right and don't do it is greater than those who don't do right but who had no knowledge. To whom much is given, much is required. Warning, Republicans, you don't get this right, you're going to be out on your tush in 2028. I'm sorry, 2026, maybe 2028. And then we may end up just simply getting the judgment we deserve because you didn't stand up. And if you stand up and you get defeated, at least you've gone down in a cause for the sake of Jesus Christ and the unborn. We'll be right back.
The Rob Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
These days there's dudes getting facials, manicured, waxed, and Botoxed, with deep spray on tans and creamy lotion-y hands. You can't grip a tackle box. Yeah, with all these men lining up to get lured, it's heading out to be feminized. But I don't highlight my hair, I've still got a pair. Yeah, honey, I'm still a guy. All my eyebrows ain't plucked, there's a gun in my truck. Oh, thank God, I'm still.
Well, that just seemed like the appropriate song for this program. And well, besides that, I love the song. I'm still a guy. And girls, you're still a girl. And let that never change. Be all that God has called you to be. Men, be everything God has called you to be. Be a real man and be a real woman. Wow, what a concept. Anyway, moving on. Now we're going to move to women in a different age category and something that is incredibly alarming. I'm going to come back to college females, but I want to jump forward for a minute to kind of show you the severity of what's happening with younger to middle age female teachers. Now, I understand the statistics will be a bit skewed because there are far more female teachers than male teachers. So if you're going to allocate this thing on a kind of a prorated basis, if you will, so to speak, I understand that you're going to see some differences. But I have to say, I could stack up stories 5 inches high, and I am not kidding, of all the women, female teachers who have been caught molesting young boys. It is awful. Now, maybe it's always happened, and without the internet, you go back enough years, we didn't hear about these things. Are there guys that are doing it? Yes, they pop up. Not with anywhere near the frequency, not even remotely close to the frequency with which women are molesting young boys. And interestingly, when you get over to the guys, they disproportionately are queers. They're also molesting the little boys. The boys are in a tough spot, people. They're the target of the female teachers, but they're disproportionately the target of the male teachers, of the ones that are being abused. You won't see that in the statistics. It's sort of like the statistic from about 3 or 4 years ago of all the sexual harassment cases in the military. And they would say, I've got that piece somewhere, I wasn't planning on talking about it, but say there's, I think it was something like over 12,000 cases per year of alleged sexual harassment by men against women in the military. I mean, I'm not saying I get it, but I can tell you, having been in the military, there were two things I was missing. Well, there was no girls and there wasn't enough food. And not always necessarily in that order. Sometimes food, whatever. Female companionship. I'll just leave it like that. But what they didn't tell you in that statistic, and I had to dig. This is a Holy Spirit revelation. When I read that statistic, I thought, there's more to this than 12,000 sexual assaults by men on women in the military. And when I dug into it, what I found out was they, what they said was true. What they didn't tell you was there was an equal number of sexual assaults by men against other men. They didn't want to bring up the queer factor, the uncomfortable, sodomistic queer factor in the statistic. That was just a Holy Spirit thing. Hey, Rob, keep digging on this one. You're not done with this story, pal. And that's what came up. So, while I could do a gazillion stories about this, I'm not going to. I'm making my point, except that I want to give you one case study only. One only. And it comes out of San Diego. A teacher by the name of Jackie or Jacqueline Ma, M-A. And she was sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for sexually abusing two of her elementary school students. Elementary school. Elementary school. They're boys. She got 30 years without parole. Then after 30 years, she's 36. When she's 66, she'll be eligible for parole. So she pleaded guilty a couple months ago to multiple felony counts. You know, lewd acts on a child. You know, the usual, same old, which I don't want to obviously go into any detail here. The investigators said they uncovered a pattern of grooming and abuse among several children. And part of the problem here was the fact that she was, you ready for this? She was voted in down at San Diego County a Teacher of the Year. Teacher of the Year. All right, I got done mentioning to whom much is given, much is required. So she's given this. There's much required of her. But because she was named Teacher of the Year, she had gained an unusual amount of trust from these children's parents. Well, she couldn't possibly be a pedophile or doing any of this kind of stuff. She's Teacher of the Year. Well, not anymore. She's in prison. She did say, and I quote, in court on May 9th, choking back tears, I think she's genuinely sorry, but she's also genuinely guilty. She said, quote, I ripped away their childhood. Instead of following the path of what a teacher should be, I let my selfishness override the boy's best interest. Yes, this is, like I said, this is just one of, it just seems like a gazillion stories that I could pull out of what is happening of by these women. See, some of these stories, women are the victims. Certainly in the transgender push, certainly in the abortion push. Sometimes here they seem to be emboldened to act out things that I think we only historically ever heard guys do. All right? Well, it seems that way. But I wanted to get moving to another story here, which I am going to quote liberally. It's the only time I use that word. It's when I'm quoting somebody. Jack Kashil or Kashil, I've heard it pronounced both ways. He's a great writer from WorldNet Daily. And, of course, I'm going to toss in my 2 cents worth. But he wrote a piece the other day that dealt with the new term called an elf. Now, I've seen this very, very recently. And I mean, only within the last couple months, maybe. And it stands for educated liberal females. And I tend to think it's a 21st century version of Rush Limbaugh's feminazis. I think that's probably what it is. But, you know, Rush got out of here at a good time. He just didn't see things get worse. But he also is not here to see things get better under Trump for a period of time. And, you know, I'm going to digress for just a second. You listen every week, well, I think you listen, to the solicitation done by one of my beautiful granddaughters, who does a great job in the solicitation. And And it talks about everything being piled up against Christianity and the forces that have come against us. I have not changed that solicitation just because Trump is here and because for at least a brief period of time, things seem to be getting better. I have left it there because the left has not abandoned their attempt to destroy our children. Now, you don't do that. God is particularly ticked at anybody who takes advantage of widows and orphans. But then Jesus wraps it up in a passage you've heard way too much from me, probably. It's better to have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than to lead one of these little ones, one of these children, astray. Some passages say offend, some say lead them astray. Same thing. You're taking children made in the image of God who have a certain amount of kind of residual innocence, if I can say that, just doing due to their youth. And there's people like this Jacqueline Ma and countless others that are out to destroy that. That's nothing more than pure Satanism. It is that bad. So Kashil here talks about these educated liberal females. And he says, and I'm going to quote here, during the George Floyd riots, the elves, who are the educated liberal females, so I will just use elves from this point on, comprised, believe it or not, the majority of the protesters. I didn't know that. But he said males dominated the shock troops, the guys who were willing to confront the police and risk arrest. That was not in the girls' DNA. Hey, let's get the boys to do it, right? We need to move this sofa. Let's find a couple of guys to do it. We need somebody to confront so-and-so. Honey, for my wife speaking, would you talk to that person? I get it. It's part of. I don't want to do it, but it's part of my role, part of my duty, part of the obligation with the genes that I've been given. And so, yeah, there are guys out there, but that was dominated by women. And he goes on to state, in these recent arrests with the takeover of the Columbia University Library, and Kashil went and he got Kashil. I like saying Kashil better. He got the details here from the NYPD of the 80 arrests that they made. Out of the 80 arrests of the takeover and the tantrums and the defacing and the violence, let's call it a college insurrection. The left likes that term. They don't know how to, they don't know the meaning, but they like to use it. Out of the 80 that got arrested, there were 19 guys and 61 girls. Isn't that something? He goes on to say here, Ivy League trained women, and I'm going to change that to poison Ivy League trained women, but it's beyond the poison Ivy League. It's at universities all over the place, including the one I graduated from, University of Michigan. But he says, Ivy trained women seem particularly vulnerable to the terrorism component of their so-called prestigious education. It imbues them with arrogance without benefit of any countervailing wisdom. Students in the liberal arts and social sciences, the fields most women favor, will pass through multiple years of academia without ever encountering a conservative professor, and perhaps not even a contrary thought. And he goes on to state that in a study of faculty, of voter registration among faculty members of 40 leading U.S. universities. So this obviously means far beyond the Poison Ivy League schools. He said it showed that there is a more than a 10-to-1 ratio of Democrats to Republicans. So that means that the ratio is somewhere over 90% Democrat, less than 10%. Republican registration of the 40 leading U.S. so-called leading universities of what I would call lower education, not higher education. He says, with the numbers being skewed even higher in the liberal arts and among young faculty, but in the liberal arts where there is a disproportionate number of women, girls, who are sitting under this poison of these schools. He said, as females, the elves are being groomed by educators and the media to think of themselves as victims, as marginalized, even as oppressed. And, you know, before I go to my next comment, what about DEI? Wait a second. All these schools being DEI, doesn't diversity and inclusion, wouldn't that mean that more than 8 or 9% of your faculty could or should be conservatives? Republicans at a minimum? No, of course not. Because the left are hypocrites. They don't mean anything that they say except for what applies to those who people for people who think exactly like they do. Otherwise, they couldn't give a rat's rear end about who they offend if the person they offend doesn't believe like they do. They don't believe in DEI. They don't believe in their own. They don't believe in their own stated objectives of inclusion or equity or diversity, because there is none. Not in those rat holes of lower education. So, he goes on to say, he says, every week seems to produce for these women a new romantic hero, such as cold-blooded killer Luigi Mangione. How about wife-beater Kilmar Abrego Gracia? And he's right, that it is women that are fawning over these really bad men. I don't know why that is. You know, there's some part of, I guess I knew that experientially growing up. There was a girl, all right, this fits in, trust me, that set the record for the most times I had ever been rejected for a date. I think it was 7 times she turned me down. Over 2 or 3. You think I would get the notion, but eventually it sort of became sport. Well, her husband was the police chief in our little humble abode of a town. And the police chief, Mr. Law and Order, and his wife, I should add, but I knew him better, not because he'd pulled me over 3 times, but I just knew him. They just only lived a block away. It's a small town. I didn't need a car. I could walk my dates down to the theater if I could get a date. Anyway, the problem was he really liked me. And I thought, why is it that so many girls seem to go for the guys that their parents don't like? Is this part of their feeling? There's a measure. I don't know. It's kind of a digression. But it seems like it's a bit related to this tendency, not certainly among the majority of women, but I think there are more women that go for really bad guys than guys who go for really bad girls. I mean, if they go for a bad girl, it's for a very, let's just say, extremely limited period of time. And so, Luigi Mangione, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, and now this gunfighter, Basil, whatever his name, Al-Araj, why they're fawning over him. Those are the followers. Those are the protesters are women. Well, he concludes this. He says, in their quest to save democracy, the elves invariably sign up for the death cults like Hamas or Planned Non-Parenthood or the Democratic Party. Then he mentions a film that I saw, which is a great film. And it's a 1940 film, black and white, saw it a long time ago, sort of fell in love with Paulette Goddard. She is the female lead there, and Bob Hope is the male lead. And it's a movie called The Ghost Breakers, not Ghost Busters with Bill Murray, Ghost Breakers. So Bob Hope is... in this thing where there's some paranormal stuff going on, and he's concerned, but he's also doesn't understand it because he's never had any experience in that. And so in the movie, he's talking to this psychologist or some guy who's an expert in the paranormal, but he's also a psychologist. And he said, well, what's going on here? Well, the psychologist tells Hope, or Hope's character, he said, these are zombies. They have no will of their own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, and not caring. And then Hope says, you mean like Democrats? It's a great line in a really good movie. And what does this come down to? I mean, I think that the women in college, and I think it goes back to Adam and Eve, I will say this, I think women are more easily deceived. Yeah, you say, well, oh my gosh, that's sexist. No, it isn't. Why? Because the guys are simply more intent to just go out and break the law. Guys don't have to be seduced to sin. It just seems like it's a stronger component of their DNA. I just handled a criminal case with a number of defendants. There are three guys and a girl, all very young 20s. And what they did was more stupid than criminal. But the three guys wanted to do this thing. They wanted to do it. And I represented the girl also. The girl was the only one of the four that didn't want to do. The guys were just ready to go do some, hey, what the hey? Well, let's just go do this. I don't know what they're thinking. She didn't want to do it. I think the women can be seduced by words. Men are more attracted to action. They each have their strengths. Each have their strengths and their deficits. There's shortcomings. Like you say, you know, Eve never heard the word from God about not eating from the tree of good and knowledge, the tree of knowledge and evil. And so the tree of knowledge, she didn't hear that from God. She heard it from Adam. So she was deceived by the devil, and the devil deceived her with the words. Did Adam, was he deceived? No, the guy just flat out broke the law that he heard God tell him directly. So, you know, there's a problem with each here. But one of the things you can't do is don't send any of your children or grandchildren to these lousy schools. Not unless you want them jumping up and down on tables and writing 8647 and screaming about Elon Musk and all of that stuff that they, you know, seem to be doing. And I want to just finish with something I'm going to conclude to try to encourage you even more to avoid these nasty schools at all levels. If you can afford a Christian school for your minor children, grandchildren, elementary, junior high, high school, do it. College is an utter waste of time for a lot of careers. Sociology, psychology, philosophy, forget it. Sorry, they're worthless. I took a worthless one, I know, political science. So I know what I'm talking about. You could do it online as easy as anything else and save yourself 50 to 100 grand of debt. But I want to briefly go back to that Falcon 49 school district in Colorado, the one that is embracing the Trump directive on get rid of the trannyism and all of that stuff. This school has a whole bunch of Democrats in it, and the others are talking about this school district as being the essential equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan. And they always say that. Oh, they're Nazis, Ku Klux Klan. The words lose their meaning the more they say it. And the Democrats in the legislature in Colorado, legislators, have been caught on the video publicly ridiculing Christianity, including one, that there's a video out there, who claimed that he may appear on Judgment Day before a trans Jesus. Don't stand close to this guy in a lightning storm. But this is where they are. This is how bad they are. And I guess all I would have to say here is, what are they like? Apparently they're like the zombies. They have no will of their own. Maybe demon-possessed. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, and not caring. And quoting Bob Hope, you mean like Democrats? Yeah, that's what I mean. But what do you do? What do I do? Well, we become the Falcon 49 school district wherever we are. Whether you're by yourself, you and your spouse, you become the Falcon 49, and you stand up for what's right. What happens is in God's hands, totally in His hands. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen. He's not going to leave you out there. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.